All right.
Hello there, crazy kids. Welcome back, y'all, to Just My Thoughts with your boy, Renard Simon. If you don't know, now you know, baby, now you know. Appreciate y'all coming back and rocking with your boy. So we're back, y'all, for another episode. We got an OG in the building, Laker fan, yes. Muay Thai, yes. Boxer, yes. Self-made trainer, and owner of Mission Valley, entrepreneur, online coach, yes. Power lifter, lover, Mr. Junisanga. What's up, my guy?
What's up, bro? Thanks for having me on, man.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate you, man. We should have been done this a long time ago. It's a long time coming. We got a lot to talk about. Got a lot to pick your brain about business, about training, about social media. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some NBA. Lakers last night, though. They lost, but I still feel good about them Lakers,
it's
though.
It's only one game. It's only one game.
It's only one game. It's only one game.
Fuck Kawhi. Fuck Kawhi. That's all I got to say.
That's what Kawhi got to say for you. Oh, man.
That's a good laugh.
So, look, man, we do a little something here. Do a little math test every time we start the show off or whatever. Okay. All right. So, you know what 2 + 2 is?
4.
All right. You know what 4 + 6 is?
10.
All right. 10 + 2?
12.
6 + 6?
12.
7 + 8?
15.
9 + 9?
18.
10 + 12?
22.
Oh, yay. My man, we got a math genius in the house, y'all. Got a math genius.
I'm not one of those smart Asians where they're like good at math. I'm just
smart.
I sucked at math, man. So I was one of those Asians that was like, oh well, I can just do it in my head.
Hey, you was pretty good, man. You didn't even stutter, dog. I tried to trip you up, man. You was like, nah, dog. 22, bro. Chill.
22.
Chill, my guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I did some research on you, man. Like, I like to do research on people.
Right.
And I noticed that you started sports when you was 5 years old. So yes, kind of take me into, you know, how you grew up and your siblings, you know, how did you become a Laker fan?
Right.
What sports did you play and stuff like that?
Right.
Let's go into that first.
Okay. So grew up in the East Coast. Born in Virginia, Alexandria to be exact, very close to DC, about 10 minutes away. Had one sibling, older brother. The first sport that I ever got introduced to was basketball because of my dad. My dad loved playing basketball, and he would play pickup games every Sunday with my family. So that's how I got introduced into basketball.
Kobe.
Yeah, right, Kobe. Damn right, Kobe. Just dribbling the ball, just getting, you know, just playing around with my brother. And then eventually we started, getting competitive with each other, which led us playing in rec leagues when we were young. So basketball was definitely the first sport that I fell in love with, just because, not only did I play it, but I also watched NBA growing up. Growing up, my favorite player was Grant Hill.
Grant Hill.
Grant Hill. GH4. Yeah, Grant Hill.
How old are you?
Pistons. 30. Turn 32 next month.
Oh yeah, that's right. You a baby.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. So
Grant Hill.
Yeah, Grant Hill was my favorite player growing up. Okay. Had the Filas. Had the GH4s. Loved everything about Grant Hill, and so that's what got me more into basketball and playing. And then eventually, got into more sports. Taekwondo was actually the sport I got into after basketball, which my parents wanted me to get into self-defense, learning how to, protect myself, defend myself, which I loved. Mm-hmm. And then going into high school, started playing basketball competitively for my high school. Yeah, and then after that, after high school, I eventually got into Muay Thai. Actually, when I moved out to California, and I fell in love with Muay Thai because I was very into MMA. I liked watching Pride, UFC, and I had a friend who is still a friend till this day. His name is Mike Zarati. He's actually my Muay Thai coach. And we started training in his backyard, and that eventually got me into just doing it more competitively.
So you wasn't just training, you was fighting too?
I did more, so not necessarily Muay Thai, but MMA.
MMA, okay.
Yeah, so I did a couple of small small fights. They call them like, just small fights.
Yeah.
In MMA, just I just wanted to dabble in it. So I got my feet wet with that. So that's what led me into, the martial arts scene. So.
Okay. Yeah, dude. So what's the I always wanted to know this. What is the difference between MMA and UFC? It's the same thing,
it's
right?
It's the same thing.
Okay.
It's, yeah. So MMA is like, MMA is like basketball. And then NBA is the league, right?
UFC
is the league. So it's
gotcha.
It's the same thing.
Gotcha.
It's pretty much the same thing, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you, so after all those sports or whatever, like when did you like really get into like fitness? Because like, yeah. I played sports all the way from 7 years old all the way up until high school. But like, I didn't really get into working out until probably like I was 22, 23 or something, which is crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, so in terms of working out, in terms of the fitness game, I really, not until like college, so I would say 20, almost the same thing, 22,
yeah,
23. 22,
yeah.
I did work out after high school, but I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, hop on the bench press.
You didn't do no like stuff in high school?
I didn't.
Cause like dude, you got all these high school students like doing shit like in the gym nowadays.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Back in the day, we didn't do that shit.
Dude. Like especially for like in PE and like I had like weightlifting classes and all that kind of stuff. They didn't really teach me anything. Like,
yeah.
And all it was bench press, you know, just like the basic stuff.
Yeah.
So
sure didn't do no squats.
No squats back then. But not until after high school, I started really getting into lifting or weightlifting, and then eventually when I started teaching Muay Thai, that's when I got into coaching, which led me into personal training.
Coaching what? You was coaching,
coaching Muay Thai. So okay. I coached kids.
That's how you got that mid training, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I coach kids. I coach amateur. I coach some pros. So it's one of those things where that coaching led me into training people, into training just people in general, just to get in shape.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
So how did the how did this self-made thing come about?
Okay, yeah. So self-made happened when I was a trainer at LA Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Loved my job, but I wasn't getting paid anything.
I remember Miguel telling me about
this. Right. Yeah. Shout out Miguel.
Yeah,
right?
Shout out, baby.
So self-made happened because I wasn't happy, you know, and I hated working for a big box gym. I was training at the time at LA Fitness for 2 years. It was stacked.
Damn, 2 years?
Two years.
I could only stay there for 9 months, dog.
Right. Like,
I know.
Dude, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So there was a time where I was like, man, like I would train clients and their contracts would end and they would say, hey, do you want me just to pay you instead of going...
Right.
You know, and just instead of just signing up for another contract, and I was like, sure.
Yeah.
So I was doing stuff under the table when I was working at LA Fitness. And
especially when you've been there for 2 years, like people like they love you already. You
right,
know what I mean?
Dude. Yeah. So I built those relationships already.
Yeah.
You know, I had a ton of clientele and they were, you know, it was on my mind. It was on my mind that to take my business where I could actually run my own business instead of working for somebody else.
Mm-hmm, yep.
So I found self-made on Instagram and met with Miguel. Loved the concept, loved the idea of it.
Yeah.
And then once I was sold on the gym, I talked to all my clients and said, hey, look, I'm going to be gone in a month. So if you want to come with me, this is how much it's going to cost.
Right.
So, and half of them came with me. And that's how I began, that's how I began my independent contractor, independent training and working for myself. So,
Okay. And then what would you say is like the thing you, is there anything for that opportunity that you got with Miguel, is there anything that you like would change, like that you would do better?
Let's see, anything I would do better. I would probably,
as far as like when you first got the opportunity.
Yeah, when I first,
got the opportunity, like you know, you're super happy and everything
right.
You're trying to do too much too soon and stuff.
So
like
I think the first thing I would have done was I would have had more structure within my business, especially especially now, like mentoring trainers now and helping trainers grow their business. I feel like I had to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Miguel was definitely helpful, in my journey, but in terms of running a business, I had to figure it out on my own.
Right.
So the most important thing for a person who's running their own business is having structure within their business.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's something I was missing back then. Mm-hmm. Because let's say, for instance, like a pricing sheet. Simple as a pricing sheet.
Yeah.
You know, when I would have a consultation, I would have my prices, but they were in my head.
Right.
You know, instead of having a nice sheet being presentable, I would just, you know, say everything on top of my head. Oh, what do you want to, what do you want to commit to? How many times a week? Mm-hmm. You know, and then I would have to think about it.
Yeah.
So I would say that the biggest thing would be, you know, having structure within my business beforehand.
Right.
But I think that's what led me here was, you know, learning on the go, like learning everything on the go and, you know, soaking up whatever I learned and just adapting.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's the biggest thing I would say.
Okay. So you have, right now, how many trainers you got right now?
Right now we have about 28.
28? Jesus. So because a lot of people always ask me about self-made.
Right. All right.
They're like, oh, is self-made worth it and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I don't think this I did this podcast on, I think it was on Apple Podcasts. I just transferred everything to Spotify.
Okay.
Maybe I might do another one. And tell people why self-made is beneficial.
That'd be great.
But why don't you like tell people why you feel like it's beneficial? Especially, is it more beneficial for the seasoned trainer, or is it more beneficial for the trainer that just got their cert and has no clients, no social media, or nothing like that?
So is self-made worth it? Yes. I've been training for 8 years, and this platform alone gave me so many opportunities that led me to opening my own gym.
Right.
And honestly, I think you don't have to. There's no, in terms of criteria, I think you have to be hungry. I think you don't necessarily have to be a seasoned trainer, seasoned veteran in order to be successful within this platform. But I think the main thing is, you know, you have to be driven, you have to be hungry, and you have to be willing to be open-minded. Mm-hmm. Because I see a lot of people who are successful in here are the ones who have those qualities about them.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, like the platform alone, what you're getting, you know, you're getting a clean gym, you're getting a private training facility, you're getting, you know, brand new equipment that's fucking awesome, and you're getting an environment that is full of people who are hungry and or driven or like-minded.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between us and other people, is that we have a culture that we have established, an environment that's very positive and uplifting.
Yeah.
And when you go to other gyms, you know, you don't see that.
There's a lot of opportunity for cross-promoting, too.
1,000%.
28 trainers. You got 28 trainers to cross-promote with. 1,000%.
Come on,
man. 1,000%. Let's just say four of those trainers have, like, over 12,000 followers.
Right.
Let's just say one. You just need one, really.
Right. No,
to collaborate,
and
you
it's,
know?
It's all about networking.
Yeah,
When you're a trainer, it's about networking and expanding your network. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a place like this, you know, it's pretty much a big network full of trainers and clients and athletes and people that, you know, that know people.
Right.
And in order to, you know, be a successful trainer, mm-hmm. you know, those are qualities those are things that, you know, that you should be looking for is mm-hmm. okay, do I have a good network?
Right.
You know, is this place, you know, will this place support me?
Right.
You know, will this place, you know, look after my back?
And that's the big thing, this the support system. And I always tell people, I'm like, look, man, I remember when I was here, like, Junie told me, he's like, look, dude, like, if you want me to post something on the page, just let me know, dog. Just text it to me, dog.
Right.
You know, because some people will ask me, they'll be like, well, do they get you clients and this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, man, like, June's gonna help you out, man. Like, no matter what, like, he's gonna promote you. Like,
right.
He's gotta promote everybody.
Right.
But at the same time, like, a closed mouth don't get fed, man.
It
so,
doesn't.
Like,
no.
He's gotta manage all of this shit. But at the same time, like, if you just come to him and say, Junie, can you do this? He's gonna be like, yeah!
Right.
Yeah, you right. know? He'll be excited dude, that you're like, trying to do some shit.
Yeah, that's my main thing is helping trainers grow their businesses, mm-hmm. is teaching people how to be entrepreneurs. It's leading people into the right direction. And it's something that, you know, I'm getting better at going into year two of, you know, owning the gym. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, we don't make money off of the clients, you know, and it's in my best interest to make sure that my trainer is doing well. Because the trainers keep our doors open.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
So when I come in here, when I work here, you know, it's one of those things where the first thing I'm going to ask these trainers is, you know, how's your business doing? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we make it better?
Yeah.
You know, what can we do in terms of, you know, your marketing to, you know, to grow your following or to add more value to your content?
Mm-hmm.
These are questions that I ask my trainers consistently because I don't want them to be satisfied with, you know, where they're at, even if they're doing well.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to establish their brand and to grow and to use our platform to get where they want to be.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, training for the rest of their lives or opening their own gym or having their own clothing line or supplement line, it doesn't matter. Whatever they want to do, I'm going to support them 100%.
Right.
Because this platform has done so much for me that I know what it can do for them.
Yeah. So. I agree. What do you think most trainers struggle when it comes to self-made? Why do you think they struggle?
I think the main thing, if they don't have an established clientele already, is the marketing, mm-hmm. is the networking. It's one of those things where, you know, let's take for example Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is one of those things where you have to consistently post things on a day-to-day basis.
Yep.
And if you're not a person who's social media savvy or into social media, that's going to be hard for you to do every day.
Yeah.
So I think the main thing is marketing, especially because, like, when you go to big box gyms, they do the marketing for you.
Yeah.
You know, they sell the stuff for you and they take care of you and but when you don't have, you know, that network in front of you and you have to market yourself, I think that's where a lot of the trainers who are not successful, I think that's where they struggle.
I agree because it's hard, man.
It is hard.
It's hard to produce consistent content.
It is hard.
But I'm gonna tell you this, man, like, shit that I've learned, like, over the years is to produce consistent content, like, you gotta prepare. You gotta plan it out, man. And That, I mean, that's something that I'm working on right now, 1,000%, you know?
Dude.
Plan your content out for the week. A lot of YouTubers that I know, they plan their content out for a whole month.
That's great, you know, for
these people that vlog every single day.
Right.
They're planning their content for a month. Like, you think, like, they just come up with it, like, just like that? No. Like, that shit is planned out. And if it's planned out, it's easier. It's, you know, it's a lot less stress.
It is.
You know, every single day. I think, I feel like that's where a lot of people struggle.
Right.
Because, you know, they just think, like, they can just post anything on any day.
Yeah.
I think a good strategy, too, to have is... You know, when you're planning out your content, like, have certain days where you post certain things. Like, like I saw something that you did. You was doing like a Trainer Tip Tuesday or something like that. And when you do stuff like that, people are like waiting for it every single Tuesday.
Right.
And that's kind of what I want to do with this podcast. I want to start either doing Tuesdays and Thursdays or every Wednesday or something like that. So everybody can be waiting for a new episode of the podcast. And that's how you do the content.
1,000%. You know? Yeah. It's all about consistency. Yeah. And you said the right word is preparation.
Mm-hmm.
In anything, if you want to be successful, you have to prepare for it.
Yeah.
You can't just say, oh, hey, well, I'm going to take a selfie and then I'm just going to write a caption with it. Like, for me, when I see too many selfies, I just swipe.
Yeah.
Because to me, there's no... What's the value of the selfie?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
But if your content has value, whether it's a video or a picture, and you know, and I'm reading it and I see value in it, I'm gonna follow you, I'm gonna like it, I'm gonna comment. And that's how you build a network. That's how you build a strong page, is by putting content out there that's valuable.
Yeah.
But you said the right word.
Yeah.
The preparation is key.
Preparation.
Using those dates, you know, using those days, right? And making sure that your content is consistent.
Yep.
That's all it is, dude.
So what do you say to the folks that that feel like it's expensive? It's too expensive for them to train at self-made.
So the way I look at it, it's an investment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you were to get your own studio or your own gym, your own building. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it is, if you're paying for your equipment, if you're paying for your rent for the building, you're paying for the lights, you're paying for the internet, it's gonna cost more than $800.
Yeah.
So let's say you want something that's private, that's clean, that's different from any other gym. $800 isn't actually a lot.
No, it's not.
Especially because our gym is like one of the smaller self-mades, but we're about 5,500 square feet. But if you get your own spot that's 1,000 square feet, it's going to be more than $800.
Yeah, it is.
Plus, you got to pay for your equipment and all the other stuff.
And so, you don't have 28 trainers to network with.
Right.
You do.
Which is the most important thing. Like, a lot of, especially with our recovery guys, with our chiropractor, Adam, the way I see it is that, especially when new clients come on, they have a new network of people to talk to, right? So... the biggest thing, once again, it's the energy, it's the culture here that separates us from other gyms, you know. And I'm not saying you can't be successful anywhere else, but if you come to self-made, you're going to have support, you're going to have people that are like-minded, and you're going to have a big network of people that will support you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So get on your damn social media, man.
Social media.
And if y'all got any questions, please DM this guy, DM me, because I'm learning a lot of shit about it now, because like I'm working on some stuff with my social media right now. So so I mean, I've always kind of had like the knowledge of like what to do with my social media, like how to do it. It's just like nutrition. Everybody knows what you have to do.
Right.
It's just doing it.
Right.
You just have to do it.
And Renard, I think the biggest thing that where people trip out on is they're thinking way too much in terms of the content, whether it's perfect.
Yeah.
And you can't do that because if you don't put it out there, then you'll never know whether it's good content or it's bad content, right?
Exactly.
And a lot of people are very gun shy when it comes to just putting content out there because, it's not perfect, or, you know, I didn't take the right angle, or...
Like, what makes it perfect?
Though? Right, yeah.
And I went through that shit, too. Right, even with my podcast, I was like, I gotta wait. And it's just like, nah, man. Like, you gotta experiment, right, like, with certain types of content, because you'll put some shit out, and you'll be like, whatever, and then you'll get this response. Like, you'll be like, really? Y'all like that shit?
No, seriously, dude. 1,000%, man.
You know? So, you gotta experiment. I remember somebody told me, the other day, it's like 2 weeks ago actually, and this is a guy at F45, and he's like he was telling me about some video that I did like a long time ago. He's like you need to bring more videos like that or something like that. And I think it was like a skit video that I did.
Okay.
I think it was the one I did when I was the Alicia Keys one.
Okay.
It was like an Alicia Keys interlude, and she was like saying how she met this dude at the bar or something like that, and she called him, but I was the guy that she was talking to, and I was acting like I was that guy or whatever. So like, people, I didn't really think people liked that content that much,
right.
You know, so, you know, I might sprinkle that stuff in there, you know, but right. If you're really trying to like build a brand, like, you need to like keep track of that stuff, and you need to give people, like, you know, what they want, you know.
Exactly.
The only way you're gonna know that is if you put out the content, look at the insights, you know, you'll be surprised, like, what you see.
and I think the most important thing is being yourself.
Yeah.
Being who you are, like, because I don't think it's a bad idea for people to look up to people and kind of emulate those people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you're going away from who you are, it's not gonna be authentic.
Nope.
And
people are going to feel that shit.
Right.
They don't know.
Right. And I think being authentic is the key to social media, because that's how you become relatable.
Yep. And stop worrying about how many likes you got, man.
Goddamn. Amen. Seriously.
Shit, man. I used to be there, man. Oh, I used to look at it and be like, fuck, right, man. Nobody liking my shit. What the fuck?
Yeah.
No. But now I don't care, man, because it's like, you know, when you're building a community, man, like, it's just about the people that you rock with, the people that rock with you. Those are the people that's going to comment. Those are the people that's going to engage with your shit no matter what. No matter if your shit is like 4 likes or something like that, it's going to be like those 3 or 4 people that fucks with you.
Right.
They're going to be in there and be like, oh, whatever, you know, because they relate to you, and you built that relationship with those people.
Right,
so
right.
That's the thing. Like, once you do that and you stay consistent with your content, the shit will grow. You know,
1,000%.
Just don't stop.
Yeah.
Just don't stop. Because
1,000%.
I made that mistake so many times. Like, I will come consistent for so long and then I'll stop.
Right.
You know, because honestly, man, I mean, I don't know. The social media thing, like, it kind of got old for me for a while, man. Just like seeing the same shit all the time or whatever. And I think you just gotta look at it like in a different way.
Right.
You know? I think like now, I'm just like, the content that I'm putting out now, it's just like, it's either gonna be some silly shit, or it's gonna be something that you can use, or like something that I'm like doing. Like, and that's another thing, like, you gotta listen to like what people are asking of you. And that's another good tip of like how to get good content. Like, the questions that people ask you, use that as content, man.
Right.
I've learned that shit too, man. It's a lot of little gems out there, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of a lot of little things that you can use. But you're right, man. I mean, it's you know, you have to cater to your audience.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if something's working, keep using it.
Keep using it.
Keep doing it, man. Keep doing it. It you don't have to be fancy. You don't have to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't have to be Bradley Martin. You don't have to, you know, do all these crazy things and Larry Wills.
That's
you don't
what people think too, man.
Right?
I'm like, nah,
you know,
man.
Like, you just have to be yourself and you know, use the platform, use the questions, use the Instagram Live, use like, try these things out and see what works for you.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever works for you, run with it.
And what I found out too is talking to these like influencers and shit like that, they're saying that whatever new shit is on Instagram, that's the shit that you want to use because right. that's what they want you to use.
Right.
You know, because that's the new feature.
Right.
So you should be using more IGTV Live,
right.
more live stuff. And now it's about the stories, you know, like
I love IG stories.
The I guess what the algorithm is doing now, it's taking away people's engagement. So it's not really about the feed that much. It's more about the stories. So it's like, I remember when I just took a break from like just posting for a while. But I was on stories a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just getting followers just from my fucking stories. Like people that I don't even know who they were. Like mm-hmm. they were watching my stories. So make sure y'all are doing stories. At least what they told me, there was like at least seven stories a day. And you good, you know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I love posting about things that I'm passionate about. Sports, mm-hmm. Obviously fitness. I love shoes. So memes. I mean, there's things that I post daily that are me,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see me post a lot of things that are inspirational, that are funny, you know. But that's just my personality. That's just who I am. And you're right. I mean, it's you like you just have to post things that you know that are genuine, that you actually you know are into, you know, things that you like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when you find your bread and butter, like stick to it.
Yeah.
Stick to it daily because you'll have people that'll hit you up that'll, you know, whether it's inspirational stuff that'll be inspired or let's say you post some funny videos or funny memes, they'll laugh at it and they'll,
mm-hmm.
they'll say you made my day.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that you have to do consistently. And we go back to being consistent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being consistent.
Yep.
Consistency is a key to growing your social media.
Yeah.
So.
And another thing too, man, is if you're trying to figure out like what kind of content to produce, of course, you know, you can use questions and stuff like that
right.
that people ask you.
Right.
But do something, like do a challenge, like do a competition, do something.
Can you do a Pazookie challenge?
A Pazookie challenge?
Can you do a Pazookie challenge?
What would the challenge be?
How many Pazookies you can eat like in
a No, that's
dude,
stupid.
That would be like epic, man.
That's stupid,
that
man.
That would be epic, how dude. Many,
no, it'd be epic the next day. Like, I'd be in a fucking hospital. Shit, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. No.
That would be, dude, I would watch that.
No. If I'm gonna do something like that, it'll probably be maybe a Pazookie every day or something.
Ooh,
that'd
be good.
Like, I don't know.
That'd be good.
Mm, no.
Bulky?
I kind of want to bring back the Tuesday.
Dude,
the Tuesday
thing
back again. You know, I want to do something else with it, though. Because, you know, I'm not drinking no more, so.
Yeah.
My guys at BJ, they still don't know that I'm not drinking yet until I haven't been there yet since I stopped drinking. So, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
You give me new ideas for content right now, like, baby.
like you got me into eating Pazookies. Because every Tuesday you'd be like, I'm at BJ's, and I was like, man, I gotta get one.
Oh,
and then
that
started going every Tuesday. Surprised they didn't sponsor you yet, though.
They need to, shit. They need to, man.
BJ's, you need sponsors.
Shit. Yeah, I think I'm gonna bring them back
because
I'm actually about to start this. I don't know. I don't want to call it like a cut, but I do more like intuitive eating right now.
Mm, okay.
But I want to go back to macros and like just start tightening everything
got
up.
It,
you know, because of course it's gonna help what I'm trying to do right now.
Right.
You know?
Gotta
practice what I preach, you know
absolutely,
what I mean?
Bro.
So
absolutely.
Since I'm doing that, the Pazookie thing would be like my reward each week, you know.
There you go.
From eating clean like the whole
week.
So,
I like that.
So yeah, that might work. But they got a new did you have the Fruity Pebble one?
Fuck yeah.
You had the Fruity Pebble,
so
you
good.
Had the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yes.
You know, there's
good.
Another one, right?
No, which one?
It's Count Chocula.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan, dude.
Did you try that one? I didn't have that one. Because I don't like chocolate.
Man.
I don't like chocolate ice cream.
I do.
You
but
did?
I didn't. I wasn't a fan of that cereal, man.
Mm. Well, the cookie, man. I don't know what the cookie is.
You can't go wrong with the Oreo,
You can't go wrong with the Oreo.
The Oreo
I love the Oreo.
Like, the Oreo is like the classic. Like,
yeah.
like each time, like I'm scared to try, you know, new things, especially when I like something so much that, like, yeah, especially with something like that. But the Fruity Pebble one was really good.
That's why when you told me monkey bread, I was like,
Bro, the monkey bread was good though.
But it's not a cookie, man.
I know.
That's what I was afraid of. I was like, this is not a cookie. It's gonna be like kind of weird.
Right. I do miss the red velvet though when they had the
red velvet. Right.
I'm man, surprised red they didn't bring it back, man. That
shit was bomb.
That was delicious.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
But man, let's get into this NBA though. Let's get into this NBA. Laker fan over here. So let me ask you this, man. How did you feel about did you want Kawhi to come to the Lakers?
I did.
You did?
I did. I was checking my phone every day. The Kawhi watch was going on. I was in my car when I found out he went to the fucking Clippers. I was so mad.
He pulled the Uchiwali on the whole world. Except Woj. He was probably in the room with Woj the whole time.
He was. And there was always updates from, who was it? Chris Carter. I'm like, how the fuck is Chris Carter close with Kawhi Leonard? Like, but when it happened, dude, I was so pissed because...
You was pissed?
I was pissed, man. Because the Lakers were... Literally, they put all their chips to the middle and they were like, dude, we want you. So, fucking D'Angelo Russell went to the fucking Warriors, so we missed out on him. There's so many free agents we missed out on just because we were waiting for him. And for him just to pull the rug out on us? We're not the fucking Milwaukee Bucks.
But you had Anthony Davis already.
I know, dude. I'm just being
greedy. Like, come on.
I'm just being
greedy. Ryan, AD, and come on, man. I'm glad he went to the Clippers, man. I'm just like...
I hate the Clippers.
Oh, man. You know what my thing is, man? I feel like... And mark my words, man. People gonna find out this year. You know, if they don't know already. But AD, he's top two player in the league. Like, he's... What he did last night... is the same shit he'd been doing in New Orleans for the past fucking 10 years. Right. Like, he's been doing that shit, you know? So it's just like, now he's on a bigger stage. New Orleans is never on TV because it's not even a basketball city. It's a football city. Mm-hmm. But AD, like, man, I was watching that game. I was watching the highlights and he just got better, man. He got a whole new slew of moves now. Like, the dude is just... the truth, man.
AD is...
He a killer. He's just a killer, bro. Like,
so this is how I look at it. AD is a better version of Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Kevin Garnett is a Hall of Famer.
He is.
Kevin Garnett is probably my favorite player of all time. AD's skill set, he can shoot, he can defend, he can get in the paint. You know, he is the full package.
Yeah.
And I feel like he is what will get the Lakers over the top.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think they're deep too.
They're deep.
I think they're very deep.
Because you got KCP off the bench, you got Dwight off the bench. I mean,
you got Rondo off the bench. You know what I can't wait to see? I can't wait to see Rondo and Patrick Beverley go at it. That's what I want to see in the playoffs.
Pat Bev is my guy, though.
Oh, I love Patrick Beverley. I love Patrick Beverley, man. Pat Bev,
that's one of the dudes that we missed out on because of fucking Kawhi. Pat Bev.
Pat Bev wasn't going to the Lakers.
Dude, if they throw cash at him.
Nah, he wasn't going to
the
Lakers.
You don't think so?
Nah. Come on, man. You ain't leaving Doc, man. You ain't leaving Doc Rivers, dog, and Lou. Come on, man. I don't know, man. I just feel like the front office at the Clippers is like probably the best in the league, like as far as like just energy wise, you know, like Doc Rivers, like he's like the ultimate player's coach. Like, it's like a dream to play for Doc Rivers.
I think he's kind of overrated, man.
What? This is a Laker fan talking. I think because we know Doc Rivers was the Celtics coach. We know this. So let's rewind.
Let's rewind back to 2000. What was that? 2000.
Oh, shit. This is COVID Shaq. 2009.
No, we're not even talking about that.
Oh, what are we talking about?
So after Grant Hill, Kevin Garnett was my favorite player, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he was in Minnesota, I loved him, but he never won anything.
Yeah.
So when he got traded to the Celtics, this is before I was a Laker fan.
Okay.
So I jumped from you're gonna laugh from the from Boston to LA.
That's crazy.
But I was more of a Kevin Garnett fan.
You know this is gonna be recorded, right?
Exactly, bro. That's what I'm talking about. So everyone always makes fun of me because they're like, "Oh, you were a Celtic fan, and then now you're a Lakers fan." No, I was a Kevin Garnett fan. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, Doc Rivers he's a good coach, but when I'm talking about coaches now that I like, I mean, or all time, you're talking about Phil Jackson.
Okay,
about who else we got? Pat Riley.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about Jerry Sloan. Like,
mm-hmm. So Doc Rivers is not top 10.
He's top 10.
All right, he's the business.
But, I don't know, man. To me, like, I feel like...
What?
I don't know, man. I felt like the last 5 years, he hasn't been that great.
What?
Nah, dude, I don't think
so. How has he not been that great? Who was the star player on the Clippers last year?
I know.
You think that was a fluke last year? No, that was the coach, bro. He's creating the culture over there.
I know.
Now they got Kawhi?
I know.
Like, they don't even need Kawhi to go deep in the playoffs, but they got him.
They're going
to
be good, but I just feel like when you have LeBron and AD, I mean, I feel like that combination is I feel like basketball, like, obviously, like, basketball is a sport where you have to have the talent to win, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, what's the sport? Fucking football or baseball or whatever, where you don't necessarily have to have the talent to win. But I just feel like with what they have, and I feel like LeBron's hungry. I mean,
he is.
He missed the
playoffs. He's going to destroy the league this year.
He will. And all these people chatting how Kawhi's better and like...
Kawhi's not better. Kawhi's great.
He's great. Kawhi's great. And I love Kawhi.
He's in that top four, I would say, you know, no particular order.
Who is in the top four right now?
LeBron.
Number one?
LeBron, AD. All right.
Okay. So LeBron, AD.
Yeah, LeBron, AD. That's number one, number two. And then Kawhi.
Okay.
And then man. So many people I can put
KD?
There. You know. KD not playing, but like if KD was playing, KD is in there. And anything past that is like it's recycled. Like no particular order. Kyrie is in there.
He just dropped 50 tonight.
Oh yeah, he's gonna go off this year.
Yeah, I think so.
He's gonna go off this year. Man. I mean, those are like the top four, top five players right there.
That.
And then you got James. James is getting better. I'm gonna tell you, man, that Houston team, man. James, like, nobody's talking about that Houston team, but they gonna do some fucking damage.
I think they will too, bro.
I don't know. They remind me of the Pistons, man. Back in the day when it was Ben Wallace,
ooh,
and Billups, Chauncey, and all them boys, I just feel like they just got that attitude, that chip on their shoulder, man. And it's just a bunch of slashing dudes on that team. Like, the biggest dude on there is Capella. All the rest of those dudes are like fucking Gordon, and then you got Green that's fucking dunking on people, and then you got Russ, like, he's slashing. Like, they just gonna have a bunch of linky fucking 3-point shooters they're gonna be running. Them boys gonna be running, dude. And then the pregame, I can't wait to see the pregame. It's gonna be James Harden and Russell Westbrook dancing.
Yeah,
they're gonna have the dance competitions.
They're definitely gonna be dangerous.
Yeah. I'm excited for this season.
Yeah. Houston's gonna be good. The Jazz are gonna be good.
Oh yeah,
Portland.
Damian Lillard. They got Whiteside now. So.
Whiteside.
Woo! The West is gonna be crazy.
Yeah, the West is insane. Like, I don't.
So who you got coming out the West?
The Lakers.
Who you? Okay, of course the Lakers. So
that's
easy. Conference Finals.
Clippers Lakers.
Clippers Lakers.
Yep. I think it's gonna be the Battle of LA. You know, I think the
I feel like it might be semis. I feel like it might be semis. Because 1-8, that shit is going to recycle so much. Because all those teams, because Dallas is good too. Don't forget about San Antonio. Who else, man? You got OKC still.
With CP? Nah, they're done, dude.
You think they're done?
Yeah. CP's
gonna. They're not gonna be a threat. They could get an 8 spot. But
I think Golden State is probably gonna be 7 or 8 this year.
7 or 8
without Klay Thompson or.
I think KD. So. I remember Draymond was like. He was like, yeah, man, there's people saying that we ain't going to even make the playoffs, man. I was like, hey, dog, you know, like, the West is stacked.
Yeah.
Because I don't see the Warriors even beating, like, Sacramento. Because Sacramento is hard right now, dog.
Buddy.
Ooh, they got Buddy. They got Darian Fox. Bagby. They got Harrison Barnes. They hard. It was hard last year, dog. So
is New Orleans in the West?
And New Orleans too. Zion. New Orleans too, boy. New Orleans is a beast. Now they got fucking they got Zion, of course.
Lonzo.
Lonzo. But what's crazy about that? It's Lonzo. It's like Lonzo's team. Like pretty much. Yeah. Drew Holiday, he's pretty much playing like the two.
Right.
So he's kind of like giving like Lonzo the team. So it's like kind of like back to UCLA days, man. Mm-hmm. Like he's been working on his Jay. Mm-hmm. You know, they went at it the other night with the Raptors. It was like 27, 20, 127, 122. Boys is scoring. They don't have a problem scoring. So, you know, like.
The only thing with the Pelicans is being a Laker fan, I never liked Brandon Ingram that much. He was like.
He's going to be better this year, too.
I think he will, too, but
because of that.
I feel like the comparison when he came out of college was Kevin Durant, right? Lanky.
Oh, they did? Oh, yeah, they did say that. I remember that.
He shoots the same, but the thing with Brandon Ingram is that he's been more of a guy who takes it to the paint, and he's very thin.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I thought he would be a better shooter, and he's not.
No, he's not.
I like Lonzo, but... I don't know if he'll be that player that we all thought he would be in terms of like when he was at UCLA. Josh Hart, he's good, but
yeah, he's nice.
He's decent, but he really disappointed me last year because he had a really good preseason last year, and he didn't do anything last year.
Yeah, well, so that man's talking about they're talking about trading that man. You know what I mean?
That is true.
But I'm gonna tell you who. Melo is better than all of them.
Ooh.
Like, it's crazy to me how like everybody's like, oh, like Melo's gonna be the number one pick now or whatever. It's because like the leagues that he plays in, like it's I forget what the YouTube channel is called, but I watch like all like the AAU shit. Like a lot of ball, like street ball shit. And I've been watching him for a while, and I can just tell. I can tell by like when he was little, the dude has grown, and you can just tell. And it's just like now, like people are like, "Oh, like I'm just like this dude has been doing this. He's been killing people for like the last 4 years, you know." And he's a beast. He can shoot. He can dunk on people. He's taller than Lonzo. he's linky as fuck. Like,
is he playing in?
He's a point guard too. He's playing in. He's like playing overseas or something, and playing in some league or some shit like that. But yeah, he's gonna be. They're saying like he's gonna be number one pick, and I'm thinking like he's gonna be like a Derrick Rose, not like playing like Derrick Rose, but like be able to make an impact as soon as he gets to the league.
Yeah.
He's like that that'd be type nice of player.
Yeah.
So. So we'll see, man. I'm excited.
For some reason, I thought you meant Carmelo.
No, not Carmelo. Carmelo at the house.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know what Carmelo doing, man.
Carmelo is...
he wanted a farewell tour. It wasn't happening.
He did. Mm-mm. Nah, yeah. Carmelo is... it's crazy how he fell off. He just fell off. And LeBron is... You know, him and LeBron came in the league at the same time. And
I know, right?
LeBron is still killing it.
Yep. Dude, about to, man. I remember I seen him a little preview when he was coming, when he's coming on the court, he pulled this shit out. He was like, "Let's go!" Yeah, you see that shit? I was like, I was hyped, man.
That was after the national anthem, right?
That was after the national anthem. Yeah, let's go. I was like, hell yeah! I'm so glad basketball is back right now.
I think the real question, especially with a lot of people who are diehard basketball fans, is LeBron better than Jordan? What do you think?
Oh man, we don't have enough time for that, though.
We got a little bit. We got a little bit.
We're not gonna get too deep into it.
Yeah, we don't have to get too deep into it.
So, I remember we talked about this a long time ago.
We did talk about it.
I actually have that in my notes too.
And guys, you didn't show me the notes, so.
Oh man. So look, man. You know what? I'm kind of done with the whole comparison. I feel like when people try to compare them and say one is better than the other, they always talk about championships. And like, to me, like, that doesn't like validate like how much better he is. Because first of all, like, who was Jordan's coach? You named one of the best coaches. It was Jordan's coach. Right. All right, the Hall of Fame coach. All right, he had one of the 50th greatest players in the league on his team. Right? Yep. The first, what, I would say 8, maybe 7 at the least years. He didn't make the, well, no, he didn't, he made the playoffs, but he got bumped out in the first round.
Right.
All right. The Pistons and the Celtics was beating that ass until Scottie Pippen got there.
Right.
All
right. Right.
And then Phil Jackson, and then they got Rodman, and, you know, that's when the 6 happened or whatever, but, When you look at LeBron, man, like, the reason I feel like LeBron is better is because, like, LeBron came into the league in after high school, right? He didn't have no guidance at all. Like, he came into the league. Who was his coach? Does anybody remember who his coach was when he came into the league?
Paul Simons. I do.
You know? And when he came to the league, what's funny about it is when he came to the league, like, all those dudes on the league, you remember Darius Miles?
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Boozer. Darius Miles was the biggest hater. Like, he was the one. He was like, he's a rookie, but like, I don't think, you know, we're gonna be, you know, he's gonna be doing all this and doing all that or whatever. Right. The dude came in, like, I think he had like 20, like 7 and like 2 or something, like, in his first game. And And everybody was raving about it. And he wasn't impressed about it because they lost the game.
Right.
And then the dude go, like, who goes to fucking 8 straight finals? Like, Jordan didn't go to 8 straight finals. Like, everybody's saying he went to 6 straight finals and won every time. Like, who was he playing, though? Like,
Utah?
I mean, you don't.
Karl Malone?
Utah, Karl Malone?
John Stockton?
John Stockton? Who else? Who else?
Hornacek?
Who else did he beat? He beat the Phoenix Suns.
Charles Barkley.
All right, he beat Charles Barkley.
Sean Kemp, Gary Payton. All
right, Sean Kemp, Gary Payton.
Who else did he beat?
All right. Who else did he beat?
I'm trying to think. So, 1-2. And then 2 versus Utah.
Yeah.
Seattle. Phoenix. Was one of them the Blazers? No. Blazers?
Yeah, it was the Blazers.
Yeah.
It was the Blazers. But, I mean, this is the thing, like, I don't know. LeBron, to me, like, he's like the biggest example of like putting a team on his back. I don't feel like Jordan put a team on his back, but he didn't get past the first round, all right, until Pippen got there. Like, when did LeBron get a player? Like, he got a player when he was with Miami. Like, he got D-Wade and Bosh, and Bosh was kind of at the end. D-Wade was kind of at the end too. He was still doing his thing, but those first, like, 8 years, LeBron was on his own fucking going against those Piston teams, man. Beating those Piston teams by himself, man. Like, I don't think nobody remember that. Them Celtics teams, like, by himself. Who was his bat? Who was his Robin? Please tell me who his Robin was. Booby. What is his name? Booby Gibson? Barrett now?
Mo Williams
a beast, though.
He was a beast, yeah.
Mo Williams was a beast.
He definitely didn't have the supporting cast
or the coach. I don't even remember who his coach was. Yeah. I know Mike Brown, and there was some other foreign dude or whatever. But I don't know, man. It's just different eras. Like
it is different
eras. I'm just done with the comparison. Even Doc Rivers said it. He's like I never compared LeBron to Jordan.
Right.
You know, because I always think of LeBron as Magic.
Right.
You know, he's a facilitator. Like he doesn't go in there and just try to score every ball. Like he's, you know, he tries to play the right way or whatever. Yep. You know, so I don't know, bro.
So my biggest thing is that I hate when people say when people compare these two, because my favorite player is Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, this is my opinion.
It's funny you say that, because I feel like Kobe is better than Jordan.
Ooh, damn. All right. I'll go with that. to me, MJ's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two is Kobe.
Yeah.
And then number three is LeBron.
Okay.
That's
fair.
Do I think LeBron is the most talented? Sure. Mm-hmm. He's the most athletic. He can pass, he can shoot, you know, he can do a lot of things that Kobe or Michael couldn't do. Yeah. But I feel like Kobe and Michael are at the top because of the championships. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, championships, you know. I feel like when you have the stats and the hardware to back it up, I feel like that's what makes you the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jordan being 6-0, I think the game was harder back then, in terms of like it was more physical. It was completely different, because it was, you know, you had a traditional center, so it wasn't like today's game where everyone's shooting threes and shit, you know. But
we don't even have time for me to disagree with that shit.
Nah.
That's got to be a whole other podcast, because I'm holding my tongue right now, y'all.
Yeah. But yeah, dude. We're
gonna take it to the next NBA podcast.
Yeah, we need to.
Let me write that down,
because do an NBA just straight up podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, and until LeBron wins at least another one or two more, I don't feel like he'll get past Kobe. Especially being a Laker, like I feel like LeBron has to win, because he's on a team that has so much tradition. And I feel like Kobe is the highest example of what a Laker is. So
I feel like, I'll say Magic is, but
it's like 1A, 1B, honestly. 1A, 1B. And honestly, like, I respect all of them. I think they're all great. But I just feel like LeBron, how many finals did he go to?
8. I think 9, actually.
And so he's 3-3 and what, 6?
What? I don't... That
first one?
That record does not...
The first one doesn't count?
Is not that record is not relevant at all. And we're going to talk about that on the next one.
We will.
Before we go, it's the last thing right here.
Yes, sir.
All right? So, if you died today, all right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want people to remember you as if you died today?
If I died today...
And what song are we going to play at your funeral?
Okay, so... Let's start with a song.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's talk.
Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight.
You got 2 minutes, baby.
Okay.
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight.
In the Air Tonight.
That's my favorite song.
How that song go? Sing it.
Is it calling in the air?
Okay.
Mayweather
gotcha.
Comes out to it.
Okay, so gotcha.
It just puts me in the zone. Okay. And it's so at peace, and then it just goes. So that's the song I would go out to.
All right. What you want to be remembered as? One minute. You got 60 seconds, baby.
I would say a person who was, you know, very genuine, mm-hmm. kind, caring for other people. But the biggest thing is you know, I want to be known as someone who is authentic. You know, okay. Who's authentic, and you know, for me, I'm not fake. If I don't like you, you know, I'm not just gonna say hi or you
right.
know I'm that's me being me.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. you know, I don't like to spread like negativity or whatnot. But for me, it's that I kept it authentic. I kept it real.
Okay.
And that's what I want to be remembered as. So.
All right. There you go, Mr. Juni Sunga. Is that I say it right? Did I say the last name right? All right. Appreciate you coming through, dog.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me.
If you guys want to make sure you guys share this podcast, it's on Spotify. All right. If you guys want to write a review, go ahead and write a review. Share it with your people. And I will see y'all on the next podcast, baby. Peace.